Jesus was more than a match for the Herodians and the Pharisees' trap today. They had figured if Jesus affirms the payment of the tax, the census tax, then he would come off as a Roman sympathizer, a supporter of the tyrannical Roman regime with all its human rights abuses. And they would say, "Haven't you heard how the Romans brutally suppressed that slave uprising last week? Yet Jesus says we should support this regime with our tax money." On the other hand, if Jesus had said it is wrong to pay taxes, then they would have immediately reported him to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, informing him that he had a renegade teacher from Galilee going around Jerusalem telling people not to pay their taxes. And this would have surely gotten Jesus arrested and put away for good. But Jesus detected their malice and knew that they were testing him. So he asks them to pull out a Roman coin. And the coin in question was a silver Roman denarius. And this Roman denarius would have been stamped with a side view of the head of Tiberius Caesar, the Roman emperor, from AD 14 to AD 37. Surely it would have been offensive to the Jews because, you know, on this coin would have also been written, you know, high priest, very religious language, and the divine son of Augustus. So this would have been highly offensive to Jewish authorities. And yet they had a coin on them, on their person. So Jesus tells them to pull out this coin, and before they knew what was even happening, Jesus slips right through their trap. And he takes advantage of the situation to make a very important point. He says, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." And so he exposes their question, whether it's right to pay the census tax or not, he exposes it as a false dilemma. He's saying that political and religious obligations can both be legitimately met. Paying taxes is not a compromise of one's duties toward God, nor does serving God exempt one from supporting the civil government. But there's a deeper meaning. That's not the only point he's making. There's a much deeper meaning to Jesus' words, because he says, "Render to God what belongs to God." And, you know, while I just mentioned, you know, Caesar's image, Tiberius Caesar's image would have been stamped on these coins, according to the book of Genesis, the image and likeness of God is stamped, as it were, upon each human person. And therefore, our whole selves, everything we have and are, belong to God and should be a gift to his service. Render to God what belongs to God. I gave a retreat to college students this weekend, so I was traveling yet again. But it was a wonderful time, and the retreat was based on reclaiming your true identity. And this is precisely the starting point. The fact that we bear God's image and likeness, it's stamped on our human person, which is an identity that's common to every human being that ever existed. But that identity, that image and likeness, is, as it were, elevated and perfected in baptism when we become beloved sons and daughters of God and co-heirs with Christ. And as heirs to the kingdom, as baptized heirs to the kingdom, we are now entitled to everything the Father has. But sadly, many of us don't believe that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. Many of us baptized Christians don't believe that. We've forgotten who we are. And we still live from our wounded, false identity, deceived by the father of lies. And so on this retreat, you know, I used a movie that I loved as a kid, The Lion King, to illustrate, you know, what it looks like to be wounded and to live from that false identity, to be deceived by the evil one. And this is exactly what happens to Simba in The Lion King, until his friend Nala and the baboon Rafiki come and find him. And I'll give a whole homily, I'm sure, sometime on The Lion King. Don't you worry. It's going to happen. This is just a teaser. But in one of the most climactic scenes in the movie, Rafiki, who represents the Holy Spirit, trust me on this one, he comes to find Simba and bring him back to his homeland. But first, he must bring about a transformation of his heart, which has been wounded, and remind him of his true identity and calling, which he had forgotten. And so after a long, you know, winding journey, and it's a great image in the movie, through much underbrush and past many obstacles, Rafiki leads Simba to a pond where he's encouraged to look at his reflection in the mirror. And as he gazes deeply at himself, Simba eventually sees the reflection of his father, the Lion King. And Rafiki whispers to him, "The Father lives in you." And at that same moment, you know, Simba hears the voice of his father from heaven. "Remember who you are." So may we remember as well. That's what Jesus, I think, is getting at today. Render to God what belongs to God. Remember who you are and whose you are. With whose image you've been stamped. I think arguably the greatest need that we have is to know our true identity as a beloved son and a beloved daughter of the King. And I really believe that it's only when we're secure in our relationship with the Father, in our identity as his beloved children, that we can truly and fully render to God what belongs to God.